0800 288 291. Sandra said I had a nice surprise when I came home and found out my husband had left me. That was great. The sound you can hear now is Michael Praed taking off his very expensive leather jacket on Late Night Radio 2. What's underneath? Oh, it's okay, sweatshirt's underneath.
Well, I was creaking a little, so I thought I would not.
Very good.
Yeah.
You're a bit of an audiophile by the sound of things, because the first thing you said when you came in the studio was, nice microphone.
Mm. I like these. I like the TLM 170s better, but these are fantastic.
They're about the same price.
Yeah, they're horribly expensive, aren't they? But they're worth every penny. Every single penny. Best surprise I ever had. I was cleaning, doing some DIY at home. And a DIY expert I'm not, as my wife is could attest to. And we'd bought our house from these people who'd lied to us. And they hadn't disclosed something that wasn't quite right with the place.
Yeah.
And so when I thought about them, which was not very often, I would think, send a couple of curses winging their way. I'm joking, of course. Anyway, so I was doing some... I was, in fact, painting the bedroom. And in order to do that, you have to take down the whatever the thing is called that holds the curtains to the wall. That's got a name. I don't know what
curtain
it is.
Curtain rail?
That'll do.
Pelmet?
Pelmet. There you go. Pelmet.
I was taking... Good word, that. Pelmet.
So I was taking down the pelmet, and I'm up high on a ladder, like you are, and I'm not good with heights or DIY. Anyway, and something fluttered past my head, scaring me, in fact. Then I nearly lost my balance, and something else fluttered by, and it was old notes. People who'd sold us the house had neglected, and if they're listening, please God, let them be listening. They, you silly people, had left behind 450 quid.
Yes!
I think, and I yelped. That was Schadenfreude right there.
Were they still legal?
No, they weren't.
Curses.
No, but the non-legal tender is legal. You just take it to the bank and...
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still... They're still... I promised to pay them.
Down the back of the sofa when I get home.
You should, actually.
Must be a few hundred quid down there.
There must be stuff everywhere, under floorboards and behind buttresses.
Rip your houses apart. You become a millionaire overnight. Is that true?
100%.
In fact, how long have you been in the house?
8 years.
Oh, they're probably still around then.
Yeah.
Hey, we sold our house to Michael Praed.
Yeah.
Details here on your biography. It says height 6 foot. That's true.
Actually, it's not true. I'm 6 foot and a quarter.
Get off.
I used to be taller, but I was hit by a lift.
Stop it.
That's a terrible joke. No, but it's true. I'm 6 foot and a quarter. And that came as a surprise to me, because I thought I was 6 foot. Not so.
Mm-hmm. You haven't been hanging upside down from door frames.
I tried that once.
Gravity boots.
I did try the gravity boots once. And it's a terrible thing for... I couldn't remember if it was my knees or my ankles which really didn't like it. Or my pelvis. Something. We're not meant to hang upside down, except for maybe once every 6 months.
It's this leading. Every 6 months. Why 6 months?
Well, you know, there are times one needs to get adventurous.
Right, okay. Eyes green, hair silver. No, your hair's not silver.
They dyed it for this play.
Okay.
They dyed it for this play, and they said to me, Mike, we're going to dye your hair. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, because you have to play a 19 to 44-year-old. And I said, okay. I said, listen, please don't screw it up. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to take your grey out and just, you know, and take the grey, because I'm very, very grey. And just leave your normal colour. I said, okay, that sounds good. You sure you can do this? Yes. Look at me, I'm a blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
That's not silver.
It was not meant to be silver. It was supposed to be sort of not silver, but it wasn't supposed to be blonde.
I think you'd look more cultured.
What, with blonde
silver.
Hair?
Yeah.
Oh, which, blonde or silver?
Silver.
I do, but it doesn't work on stage because you can't get rid of the greyness. I saw their point.
I like the way you dovetail neatly into the new production called Beautiful and Damned, which is a new musical based on the lives of Zelda and F. Scott Fitzgerald. And it opened in London not so long ago, and it's at the Lyric Theatre in Shaftesbury Avenue, and everybody seems to be giving it the thumbs up.
Fantastic.
And I'm just thinking, because we were doing this word games thing to people, like, who's on the show tonight? Michael Praed. Oh, Robin Sherwood. You must get that all the time.
Yes.
Or Prince Michael in Dynasty.
Yes.
Dynasty, whatever. And you've done other things. Pirates of Penzance.
Yes.
Played with Tim Curry. Three Musketeers on Broadway. They're all faintly heroic, aren't they?
Yes.
Those roles. F. Scott Fitzgerald. He's sozzled most of the time.
Well, he was. I mean, he was a rampant alcoholic. But he obviously was many other things beside that.
Yeah.
And in our production, he's not. It's frankly boring just to have somebody drunk all the time. But yes, he was. He died. I didn't realize before I started doing the research that he died age 44 of alcoholism, and considered himself a literary failure, which is a huge irony for a an icon of the 20th century.
What's it like playing a self-destructive character now? Because most actors will say the baddies are the best ones to play, or the slightly twisted ones, or the people with issues and baggage are the more interesting ones to play than the nice guys.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of the nice guy, the problem is that, you know, you always get the girl and you always win, and it's that it is much more intriguing to play someone who's got major flaws, because there's more in there. And the older I get, the more interesting characters I do get to play.
Is this the most interesting so far, then? Scott Fitzgerald.
Well, that I've ever had to play. It is an interesting one. The most interesting, perhaps not. The most interesting one is one I did on a television series, which hasn't come here yet, called The Secret Adventures of Jules Verne, which was a psychotic man who was unlike a conventional hero. He was conventional up to a point, but then he had a switch that he flicked and would go sort of nuts. But once you understood that this was just one of many failings of his character, it just made him very unpredictable.
A lot of people listening, a lot of your old fans in America listening tonight as well, on the web. A lot of Michael fans in the US tuned in listening to your programme. This is Rita Jones.
Rita.
Lots of his fans, both here and in the UK and in the States, get together a lot to talk about Michael and his work. You're the subject of little meetings and groups and gatherings. Several of them coming across to see you in Beautiful and Damned as well.
Fantastic. Well, Rita and her daughter Christine came to see the show not so long ago, and if Christine's listening, good evening.
Smoothie. Michael prayed with us on Late Night Radio 2. There's more after Goldfrapp. They're re-releasing that because she's been out and about and it went down a storm live, Goldfrapp and Strict Machine. Late Night Radio 2, Richard Amundson with Michael Praed, talking about good surprises and talking about silver hair, because he's now blonde. Best surprise Harry had lately was when he dyed his hair brown, it came out ginger, and it didn't look too bad. Good luck to all the finalists at Warwick University, behaving ourselves at the moment. How can you revise and listen to us simultaneously? You won't get two ones. You won't if you do that. Talking about S. Scott Fitzgerald and people who are generally sozzled and self-destructive. Michael Praed, known mainly for playing heroes and stuff. Your skills, you're a tenor as a singer, aren't you?
Yes, high baritone.
You do fencing and fighting, you have a full driving licence, and you have a provisional pilot's licence.
Oh, yeah. I once got offered a job in Chicago when I was living in Los Angeles, and I was so paranoid about flying that I turned it down, and I thought, now that this is ridiculous, I've got to get a grip on myself and life in the air. And
did it work?
No. Well, no. Learning to fly. I abandoned it because I came back to England, but I've soloed, which is an achievement. And yes, it did cure my fear of flying.
Because some people are not bad drivers, but atrocious passengers.
So not bad drivers, atrocious pilots.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a terrible passenger. Terrible.
Even in a plane now, but you're okay on a big plane.
On a big plane, I'm fine.
Yeah, right.
I got the chance to fly the 747 simulators at Heathrow, which you could do, obviously.
They're great.
Have you done that?
And you can pick your destination, can't you?
Yeah.
And you go, right, where shall I fly? And they give you Hong Kong. And Hong Kong comes up. And you try and land in Hong Kong.
Well, that's what we did.
And everybody dies, of course. Because you crash into the flats or something.
Did you crash?
Yes, of course.
Did you?
Yeah.
We didn't crash.
I bounced off everything.
Did you?
Ended up in somebody's flat. Because in the old airport in Hong Kong, you've got the mountains on one side, you've got the flats on the other, haven't you?
Well, as I recall, whatever airport we landed in, somewhere in the east, we said to the instructor, who was a qualified pilot, obviously, because these things are not toys for people who don't know about simulators. There's millions of pounds worth of machinery and etc. So you can break them, and they want you to treat them with respect. And so we'd been flying around New York or somewhere, and we said, now look, let's try something interesting. For a start, can you chuck us in some of the most marginal weather you've got? Terrible weather. And we'd like a failure or two. So, fine. So, going into Hong Kong or wherever it is, you fly down a beam of the runway and then you turn right.
Yeah.
And then there's this checkboard that's painted on the mountain. And you aim for that and then you'll eventually see the runway to your right and then you turn into that. So, the runway. And that's apparently how these pilots used to. And I'm sure somebody will come in and correct me. But they dialed in some atrocious weather and engine failures. But I have to say that he wasn't sure if we made it. We did get on the ground. We wasn't sure. It was such a hard landing. We wasn't sure if we literally knocked the undercarriage off. It's pelmet.
It's scary.
Yeah.
But you come out and you feel you've actually landed the thing. And you're perspiring and you're tense.
Well, there was a TV series years and years and years ago with Richard O'Sullivan, I think, where they had him and a couple of members of the public, and they had heart monitors and cardiovascular doodads on them. And they gave them a little bit of training, and the premise of the program was, okay, you're en route to somewhere, and the captain and the co-pilot have come down with food poisoning, and you have to land the plane. They wanted to see if you could do it. As I recall, Richard O'Sullivan crashed and burned, but I think the other two made it in with very little assistance.
Trouble is, the thing is, if that actually happened in real life, because you've been having a go at the duty free and another glass of wine's, oh yeah, okay, then fine. By the time you actually get in the cockpit, you're completely useless.
You'd be useless. Yeah,
absolutely. We're not talking about your work, are we, really? Beautiful and Damned, the new musical, which is in London, and you're here to stay for a while, I suspect.
As long as it runs. We're having a great time so far. We opened on Monday. I had to think about that for a minute, but yeah, it's Monday. And it's going very, very well. The advance is great, so I'm reliably informed.
So where's home these days? Is it between here and LA or what?
South London.
Yeah.
South London's home. And very happy we are there too.
The music is done by Roger Cook and Les Reed.
Yeah.
Who between them have written a handful of big-selling 60s and 70s hits. And it's based on a book by Kit Hesketh-Harvey from Kit and the Widow. That sounds like just fun.
It is a lot of fun. It is an awful lot of fun. Musicals are. I mean, fun is perhaps the wrong word to use, but they're immensely enjoyable to do because of that glorious thing that happens when you start singing. I mean, by that I don't mean the sound of anyone's voice, just that you can really make a connection in a way that is very difficult or different in a straight play. Does that make sense?
You go, yeah.
Ish.
Well, when you're happy, you sing, don't you? And when you're very, very happy, you start dancing.
No, I never make that mistake.
What's this about? John in Ashvale is saying, I've heard something about a Robin of Sherwood revival. I don't want to bring up the past, but do you know anything about that?
Nothing at all.
John, you're probably leading us up the old path.
Yeah. Right.
And so you're here for what? How long? Forever and ever?
It depends how long it runs. You know, long time. God willing.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Good to meet you, Michael.
Nice to meet you too,
Michael Prade with us. It's The Beautiful and Damned, the new musical based on the lives of Zelda and F. Scott Fitzgerald. And if you thought The Great Gatsby was just fiction, I suspect there's more to it than that. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.